Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is now 9:07 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. Honey, there's so much going on in this town and beyond. It's very exciting. We want to say thank you so much to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters for presenting Center Stage every Sunday night. We are so grateful. If you get a chance, go over to Chanhassen Dinner Theaters to see Newsies at Chanhassen that's playing right now. All you have to do is go to ChanhassenDT.com. ChanhassenDT.com. Also, The Wiz has been extended through March 21st at the Children's Theater. You don't want to miss that. The Pirates of Penzance. Don't ask me why I love that show. It's a little embarrassing, but I do love that show. Go right here, sir. Okay, all right. That's coming up next. Sorry about that. Park Square, of course, is presenting Guys and Dolls through June 16th. Also, My Family, The Steels, will be with Chuck Lazarus and the Minnesota Orchestra on April 6th at Orchestra Hall. We do hope that you will go to minnesotaorchestra.org and get your tickets. We're really excited about it. Now, my first guest is in studio with me tonight, and I'm very excited to tell you all about her. You may know her, Abisha, and I hope I say that correctly, Yule, from the critically acclaimed local band called Sick of Sarah. You know I'm going to ask, why is the title Sick of Sarah? But she has branched out to a solo project now and will be one of the featured up-and-coming acts at South by Southwest on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Welcome to WCCO. How are you?
Oh, I'm amazing, and it is an honor to be here, Geraldine.
It's really great to have you here. Southwest is so lucky to get you again.
I'm really excited. This is a whole new venture in my life, and it's a good feeling.
Breaking out solo is not an easy thing, is it?
You know what? In a way, it was really hard to change up my mindset and my feelings. But after a while, I was like, you know, this is – and I was always told to, like, maybe do some solo stuff, and I was always so afraid. Well, mm-hmm. I was literally afraid. And now I just – in the last couple of years, I've broken out and, you know, transitions in my life and whatnot, and it's actually really fun. So I don't know if it's really hard, or I think it's actually really fun.
Well, let's just hear how fun it really is. Let's take a listen. Yep, this is Abisha Yule. And if you don't know her music, honey, you got to check it out. First of all, this makes me dance. I'm a pop princess. And don't be offended when I say this sounds pop to me. Would you consider it pop?
Absolutely.
Girl, I love pop music.
I know. I'm a very realistic person. I'm like, this is pop.
Exactly.
This is pop, but it makes you feel good. And
exactly.
That's what I want to do.
I'm happy already. What was that song about? Do we know? No, but we feel it, don't we?
Right.
What was it about?
So Better is about, like, overcoming things in your life, and then, you know, it's like you're better where you are now.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a twist of words, because it's like, you know, at first I'm like, you know, I'm better where you are. And at the end, it's kind of like, you know, I feel better where you are. You know, you're better where you are. So it's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, things mm-hmm. change, and it was hard to transition and, you know, let go of things. It's about change, I guess, and feeling better about it.
Well, you've been in this business a long time, and change has happened. I mean, that's what happens to musicians.
Yes.
We change whether we want to or not, right?
Yeah.
Even our fans demand that we change from time to time. How have the fans responded to you going solo?
I had, like, an overwhelming positive response. It's been amazing. And it was really scary, you know, doing that. You know, I was afraid of, you know, I was a little nervous of what people would think. But I always knew that, like, I was like, I've always written songs, so I'm just going to keep writing. I just mm-hmm. there was something inside of me that was like, you're not allowed to stop.
Right.
You know, no matter
what. And you're
what.
Not allowed, and we hope that you'll never stop. But at the same time, when you're writing for you, for mm-hmm. that internal you, that spiritual you, right?
Right, absolutely.
That's a whole nother process, usually. Right. Would you agree with that?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. Yeah, no, I definitely, you know, when I write these songs, it's not because I'm trying to write a hit song. It's because I have to release some sort of feelings, you know? And mm-hmm. it's, like I said, it's therapy for the soul.
Mm-hmm. Healing.
Healing, yeah.
Did you cry? Did you
oh, God,
celebrate?
Yeah, I cried.
Did you,
Geraldine, I cried.
Did you drink? I mean, I need to know. What was that process like for you? Because when my brothers write or my sister write, mm-hmm. you know, they it's a you lock yourself in sometimes,
mm-hmm.
and you don't come up for air. Sometimes you don't even want anybody to hear it because you're not ready to release what just
right.
spiritually happened from the inside out, right?
Right.
If you are now allowing it for any ear that wants to hear it to receive it, what do you expect they will say at South by Southwest?
What do I expect?
What do you expect? What do you hope?
What? Yeah, I mean, maybe sort of, you know, because I'm expect, it's like, expect you to think it's amazing. No, I hope you think it's amazing. I hope that I hope that you get the chance to actually listen and pay attention, because I didn't write any of this stuff for no reason. It's to touch people. And yes, Geraldine, I cried my eyes out when I wrote a lot of these songs. And, you know, I was like, if I can make people cry, and I know that sounds kind of weird, then I know I'm doing my job correctly.
Right. It came from the right place.
Right. Because I'm like, you got to feel whatever I'm feeling this, you know. And I feel like a lot of fans have responded to that. And it's great.
Any collaborations on this particular one?
Yes. Did a collaboration with this band called The Last Year, which Sigacera toured with quite a bit, and they're amazing. They're out of Baltimore, Maryland, and I love their music. And Scott Enzine, he recorded and produced all of their music, and I was like, hey, I kind of want some of that little bit of funk in my stuff, you know, because Sigacera is a, you know, kind of rock and roll, kind of punk pop, absolutely, but didn't have you know what I mean? I want to branch out a little bit
right.
more and do something different. So.
Of course. And what inspired you to do that, though? I mean, for you to decide to make this change, what was the catalyst? What was the one thing that happened in your life or in a moment and you went, yeah, it's time?
Probably the demise of my band. It had a long, good run.
Really
good run.
It was
amazing. It
was
amazing. And you know, all the girls that I worked with were amazing, and I love Sigacera, and I have the best, fondest memories of it and them. But, like, you know, I always wanted to like, add a little bit more, and so now it's a little bit more freedom. So I learned a lot, so I'm so grateful for everything that I've ever received through Sigacera from anybody that I've ever worked with. So.
You had some great success with Sigacera.
Mm-hmm. And I wish them the best of luck. They're doing great. I mean, everybody is, like, you know, fulfilling their calling,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, so I know there will come a time when you guys will get back together, even for nothing else,
oh, yeah.
to do a concert or to have them
will.
Open for you or something like that. But that's exciting that you still have some of those relationships still open, right?
Yeah, we've been talking about a possible reunion tour mm-hmm. at some point. So mm-hmm. that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, congratulations on this new CD. If you wanted people to know, you know, this CD is out, here I am, completely exposed, because really, that's
yeah.
what the whole writing process is, right?
Yeah.
What is it that you hope they will glean, not just from the lyrics, but from the feeling of the album? What do you want them to take away? Because music allows us to grow, right? It either encourages us, it's either going to help us become, it's going to affect us or infect us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it. So if they're listening to your music and you want them to really pick something specific out, what would it be?
Well, you know, I kind of tend to write on a specific topic, which is usually love, loss.
Mm-hmm.
So it's,
could that ever change, you think? No?
I mean, I switch it up every now and then and write a funny song or like a very like exciting song. You know, that's a little bit less about that type of stuff, and I kind of have to force myself to do that. But I would like them to take away the feeling of being able to know that there's somebody out there that they could relate with, and that's, you know what I mean? I want people to feel like, hey, if she can do it and overcome these heart-wrenching times mm-hmm. and that everybody experiences, just to know that they're not alone. And that you could sit with me at my table at lunch because I like you.
Yeah.
I'll accept you unless you're mean. I don't like that.
Yeah, you and me both. I cannot right? tell you how excited I was that you were coming in studio tonight.
I was excited. Are you kidding me? Like, you are amazing. Like, your list of just accomplishments is, I mean, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
You're very kind. Thank you. Now, I want you to know, I want to sign something. I want a poster, something. When you come back, mail me something.
I will.
I don't care if it's an article written about you. I would just really like to have that. Just mail it right here to CCO, and I would just really appreciate that because this is a special night for me to have you in studio. I wish you well.
Thank you so much.
You to know that we musicians understand the complexity of what you are about to experience at South by Southwest. And getting up there and telling your story in the way that only you can tell it, but it is yours. Own it, run with it, which I know you know already. You've had great success, but don't let anybody standing in front of you change what it is that you are becoming, because I can't wait to hear more from you. And anytime you've got a new project coming for it, call us.
Oh, thank you. I will.
To know all about it, okay? So now, this is happening March 17th.
Yes.
Right? Where can people get your music?
Okay, so South by Southwest, it's we're doing a showcase with The Color Agent. It's at the Tap Room March 17th. We play at 10:45 p.m. I have a show at the Amsterdam March 31st.
Awesome.
And I'll be opening up for Lane and Selfish Things. They're a band based out of L.A. And then I also have a movie coming out here pretty soon, which I don't know if I could send you the trailer for, and you could throw it up on your site. But
I would love that.
It's cool. It's starring myself, Lauren Virginia Albert, Al Snow, and Vernon Wells from Mad Max.
And what is it called?
It's called Loss Prevention.
Loss Prevention.
It's an action comedy. It's great. Thoughtfly Studios out of Kentucky. They're in charge of the whole movie, and it was an amazing experience, and I can't wait for people to see it.
First one?
First feature-length movie, for sure.
How about that?
I'm excited.
Is there a book on the horizon? Come on.
You know, I was actually thinking about putting a picture book together.
I'm just saying.
Of just faces and stuff that didn't make sense. So, yeah, no, that's maybe not so much my area of expertise, but we could talk about that later.
We'll talk about that another time.
It might be an autobiography.
And very quickly, introduce your posse in studio with us today.
All right. Over here, I have Casey Ayers. She's my guitarist and a really good friend. And then I have my girlfriend, Sierra Chizek.
And hi, Sierra. Hi, Casey.
They don't have mics, but hi.
It's great to have you all in studio. And I know you're going to have a blast. You're going to knock them out.
Thank you.
I can't wait to hear more about you.
I can't wait to hear more about you. I mean, there's so much still I have to catch up on.
Well, we'll catch up on it one day, that's for sure. This is Abisi Yule, and she is in studio with us. If you have not heard of her, I know you've heard of Sika Sarah and all of their success, but she's going to be performing at South by Southwest on St. Patrick's Day. This is no joke. This is for real. And if you don't know her, look up her music. It really is quite spectacular. Can we play a little bit more of that song? Is that the only one that we have, Jonathan? Ah, it's the only one we have. What was the name of that one, by the way?
That one's called Better.
Better. That's it. Can you play a little bit more of it for me? Do we have it? No? Come on.
Well, you can, if you want to hear any more of the music, you can go to Abisi Yule Rocks. Wait, what is it? AbisiYule.rocks.
Abisi Yule. And by the way, that is spelled A-B-I-S-H-A-U-H-I. Abisi Yule. I love the name. Love her spirit. Love her music. I can't wait to get to know more about what she is writing and what she's putting out. You're listening to Center Stage. I am your host, Geralyn Steele. We'll be back in just a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It is now 9:23 here at WCCO. Welcome back. You are listening to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And of course, lead theater critic Rohan Preston is now joining us to tell us what is going on in the theater world. How are you, Ro?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I heard your daughter is squealing because school is closed tomorrow. Oh, man. Both Minneapolis and St. Paul schools are closed officially because of the storm that's coming in, huh?
We were down in the Dells this weekend for a volleyball tournament, and we were coming back. It's beautiful. It was beautiful, beautiful. I can't see a storm coming. But anyway, that's what they're telling us, and they're happy about it.
So oh, well, of course.
Funny.
Come on, we can go back to our childhood and remember how glorious that is, right?
I know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so there's so much going on in theater. I don't know how to keep up with it all.
The biggest news this week is the end of the Ivy Awards.
The end of the. I got that email and I just about cried.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
It had a 13-year run and was very, very successful. At least in terms of on many levels. One, in terms of bringing the artistic performing arts community together. But two, it also highlighted what a mecca this is. And the founder of the Ivy Awards, Scott Mayer, wanted to make sure that, the Ivies didn't compete in terms of getting funding with theaters themselves, that that it got funding from boosters of the civic life of this community. They had money, but they don't have enough money to go forward. So they wanted to go out in the black, not owing anyone. And they decided to shut it down this year.
I don't understand. When Scott left, he left it in capable hands. And he assured everyone that it would go on. You know, that was his dream, that it would go on. And, it's not. And my question is, when you say that they wanted to do this in order for it to go out in the black and they wouldn't owe anyone, did they check under every rock? Did they make sure that they tested to make sure there was no other way to save this? Because this had become an institution. 13 years, that's an institution.
Yeah.
And people look forward to it. They had not just the Ivies for the adults, but Ivies for the children as well. They were getting their awards in a whole nother area, in a whole nother room. And to know that this is no longer available really pangs me.
It's a tough one. I mean, it became a full-time job for Scott Mayer, the founder. The Ivies cost about $160,000 a year to produce, both the day off in September and well before that with all the administrative stuff that has to happen and infrastructure. Is it permanently gone? I don't know. It looks that way, but there could be something in the works.
But there were so many volunteers and so many people that gave so much of their time to go and see all of these shows and determine who would get what. And I don't know. It breaks my heart. It feels undone to me. Like it should not have happened yet.
I think that's a sentiment that's very widely shared. I definitely feel that it'll lessen sort of spirit of the community in some ways. And there should be, as a community, we have to figure out how to, go forward and, how to acknowledge and celebrate or spotlight or bring a spotlight to the great work that's here and that's happening.
Yeah, well, we had it figured out. We had it figured out. And all of a sudden we don't. So I know that how you feel about it. And I agree with you to some extent. I just really hope that they turned every page before they closed it, before they closed the book.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
And I can't speak to that. It sounds Scott Mayer left last year, left the position of being the primary person putting it on, but he was still on the board and very much a caretaker and a kind of a godfather of the thing. And, I think people, there's been an outpouring of appreciation and gratitude for what has happened, what he has done over the past 13 years. And there's a lot of hope that some form of that will continue as well. I was fortunate enough to talk with him, interview him this week, and he was very, very pained, clearly very pained about it.
All right, I'll leave it alone. But boy, it just no, seriously, when I was reading the email, I just couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. I just knew it would live on and on. So
it's huge. I think it's a blow. It's the second award that I know of to fallen by the wayside. The first was the Kudos. And still, people still have that on their resume that I see from time to time. Mm-hmm. And people will continue, I'm sure, to have the Ivies on their resumes as well for a while. And hopefully, it'll continue. Oh, by the way, I should tell you. So the Ivies were named after a restaurant that used
to be... In California?
No, here. And it used to be a hangout for actors. And I got an email from someone who used to go there as a child after orchestra, going to orchestra hall.
How about that? Well, yeah. I don't know. It just and by the way, the Ivies was also a place where the community, the theater community, really honored a critic. And, you know, even though you may not like a critic like yourself, still they would take the time to really honor them and to tell why. And that really made a difference. It was like bringing the entire family together. So anyway,
I
breaks
think,
my heart.
I mean, people regarded the Ivies in many different ways. They've called it like theater prom, since you get to, you know, lots of people dressed up and beautiful. They've called it a gathering, you know, kind of common ground. Importantly as well, I heard this week from people who said there's nothing where all the people in the performing arts get together. And so they actually don't see each other as much as we'd think, you know?
Wow. All right, I'm gonna work on getting over it. Okay, I'm gonna work on it. If you would suggest one thing that people should go and see this week, what would it be?
So they've extended The Wiz at the Children's Theater.
I mentioned that.
Yeah, that's extended by weeks. That's well worth seeing, and get a last chance to see that. A lot of shows have been closing lately. I've heard excellent things about Assassins at Theater La Tida, so I need to go see that as well, and I'll report back to you. And this week, I think School of Rock is coming up on Tuesday.
That's right. How about that?
I'll be checking that out as well.
All right, I look forward to talking to you about that. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, even though we discussed some sad news. I appreciate discussing it with you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, Jeremy.
Have a great evening.
You too.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with my next guest. Her name is Lila Downs. I don't know if you've heard about her, but she's performing Tuesday night at the Ordway, and we're going to talk all about it in just a moment. It is now 9:39 here at WCCO. I want to apologize to our guests for coming on a little late talking about this weather, but do stay tuned to WCCO for all the updates tomorrow with the school closings. Well, joining us now is Lila Downs. Have you heard of her? No? Well, she's performing Tuesday night at the Ordway. She's one of the world's most singular voices. She's a storyteller that transcends all language barriers. She's considered a global superstar, with artistry that bridges traditions from across the Americas, with influences ranging from folk and ranchero music of Mexico, as well as South America, to North America folk, jazz, blues. Oh, and by the way, hip-hop, yeah. She's a passionate human rights activist. Lila's lyrics often highlight issues relating to social justice, sharing stories that too often go untold. And she is performing on Tuesday night at the Ordway. She's joining us tonight. Welcome, Lila. How are you?
Hello. Fine. Nice to hear your voice, Geralyn.
I was very excited to have you on tonight because I had gone to the Ordway website last week looking to see what was up and coming. And I saw the picture of you with this gorgeous crown on your head, and I thought, who is that? So I had a chance to read a little bit about you, and I know you've had music that have been released and gone platinum in Mexico, and you are sharing a new Sony album with audiences, I believe, this year. I know that we were expecting a new release from you last year. Did that come out?
Yes, it did. It's an album that's mainly, well, I guess dedicated to women, because I really hadn't planned on it sounding that way, but it just turned out, I guess, you know, the series of events that have been going on in this country as well as in Latin America made it happen that way. I'm always very conscious of what's going on.
Always very conscious of what's going on, and we're glad to hear that you've done that, presenting that music. How are you, when you decided to do the new album that came out last year, you said that you didn't necessarily plan to do it that way. What was the inspiration? Was it the Me Too and all of the campaigns, or was it something very personal for you?
I think it was something personal, and I think that's why artists do what we do. We can't kind of figure it out ourselves.
Right.
So the music, of course, leads the way, and I think that I was very attracted to the music of the 40s and 50s. Of course, the jazz standards have always been a very singular force in my kind of musical education. I should say not in a formal way, but on my own. And so bolero and this tradition of Latin music is really stemming from these beautiful genres that are coming, well, mainly from the north of the U.S., but also from, you know, some tunes from the south as well. And historically speaking, it's about people coming from rural areas and moving to the city and becoming more sophisticated. And I guess this is what attracted me to the notion of doing an album inspired on that time. And then at the same time, it's kind of like going back in time, but not really, because somebody said to me the other day, oh, well, would you like to have lived at that time? And I was like, uh-uh,
right.
I don't think so.
Right. Yeah, that's a reality that really sets in, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when I was a teenager, Latin music was not necessarily played in the household. It was not even something you would hear on television and movies, on television shows to open up a series or something like that. Boy, have times changed. Really now, it just feels as though it's been a part of who we are in the Americas all along. How has that affected your music and your writing?
Well, you know, I think it's still a very difficult issue for those of us who are, as myself, I consider myself a Mexican American, but I also have an indigenous or First Nation background. My mother is a native Indian who speaks her language and as a first language. And then going back and forth, because my father was a North American, you know, with an Anglo background from Europe, from England, very confused, felt like, a part of the society rejected me when I was with my Mexican mother. And so I think the music, it really tries to contemplate these issues, sometimes maybe angrier than others, but definitely it's trying to find some kind of grace through music. Mm-hmm. And I think that it has certainly helped me become a better person, because I was a very angry person. And so I guess our music is kind of like working out, you know, some big issues about borders, about race, about social and economic differences, because my mother comes from a very poor family, and my father was a university professor.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, music is that it's the one universal language that we all hear and most of us listen to, because it can really heal. It can change, and it can incite anger. It can do so much. And to know that you have really worked with or within the confines of what we have here in America, in North America, when it comes to jazz, blues, and hip-hop, you've kind of extended all of that into your music. How has hip-hop changed the way you write, or has it?
It has. It's definitely been a very important way to express truth. And I think that I'm very happy to see that hip hop is, you know, a central force today, because I remember just, you know, the way and the attitudes that people have towards certain kinds of popular music or art. And I love that it's central in terms of, you know, speaking and criticizing society and the issues that we're dealing with today. And at the same time, as a woman, I think I need to be using this form in order to speak some truths about Latino women, and it can be difficult at times, because in Latin America, I think that we still have a long ways to go in terms of working on our gender relations, and but isn't that the case here as well?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
You know, as we're looking at DACA being addressed this week, and what's going to happen and all of the challenges for Mexican Americans, how are you using your music, your force, your power to make a difference on this particular subject when it comes to immigration?
Well, you know, I think I like to look at the activities that amazing women in my life come up with, and women who have problems generally inspire me very much, because they have problems, and in spite of that, they get up and they keep going, and that inspires me so much. I wrote a song based on the women who cook in Mexico and also here in the kitchens in the U.S., and I was living in New York City at the time, and I wrote these verses about grinding chocolate paste and chili paste to make a wonderful meal called mole, and I dedicated it to the women in the South. And so this is one of the songs that has been very joyful, but at the same time pays tribute and honors you know, the work that it takes to create a beautiful meal and to give it with love to people, to nurture our people. And I've also written a few other songs that are about women who migrate and who work at the border or sometimes cross the border. My mother was one of these women. And so these stories are fascinating to me because they're examples of strength.
Right, and you can always pull on those. My final question for you tonight, Leila.
Yeah.
Of course, with the Oscars tonight taking place right now as we speak,
yeah.
You have also performed and recorded songs for various films. What has that experience been like, and how different is it to write to write songs for film versus to write them for CDs, albums, and that sort of thing?
Well, I think that as a musician, you're always hoping to combine, you know, music with film, of course, because it's very fortunate for
right.
a musician. You know?
Isn't that the truth? Licensing,
yeah.
licensing.
Yeah, definitely, and the exposure you can get, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's also fascinating because then you are attached to storytelling, as you said in the beginning, and that fascinates me. And it's a wonderful way for people to come to terms with difficult situations, I guess. And I love that. I love sometimes to explore the confrontations that we find in our lives and to figure out the light that can come from addressing these issues.
Figure out the light that comes from addressing these issues. That, my dear, is a T-shirt or a cup or something. That is fantastic. Now, there aren't many tickets left for tomorrow night's show. We want people to get online right away to the box office. Just go to ordway.org to pick up your tickets. Again, this is happening on Tuesday night, and I understand there's a pre-discussion. Are you a part of that?
I am, yeah. I think we are going to have a little talk.
I really hope so. Those are so key before a concert.
They are. They're kinda wonderful.
It's yeah. enlightening, isn't it? And all
it
of a sudden,
is.
you feel connected to the performer, and you feel like you have a sense exactly of where that spirit is coming from and where the music is coming from. So I encourage everyone to get there early. I believe that is at 6:30 p.m. in the Target Atrium at the Ordway. So that's the Ordway pre-show extra featuring Leila. So get over there to check that out. Thank you so much for joining us, Leila Downs. It's been
Thank
such
you
a joy.
So much. Thank you. You take care.
You too.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Again, just go to ordway.org for more information. All right. We have one more guest coming up tonight. We hope you will stick and stay with us. And then at 10 o'clock is, of course, the Mom and Michael Hour with my son, Michael Battle, all the way from Los Angeles. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I used to wake up in the morning time, feeling all kinds of blue, remembering how we used to get high, and the things we used to do.
look, if you don't know whose voice this is, her name is Annie Mack. And Annie Mack is doing a big tour, really, through the state of Minnesota and beyond. And I am telling you, you can look her up on Facebook. But I started listening to her music today and couldn't stop. My sister and I were sitting at the table trying to figure out, wow, where did this voice come from? Her name is Annie Mack, and you have got to go and check her out. She'll be at the Astor Cafe on March 9th. She'll be at 318 Cafe on March 24th. Can-Can Wonderland in St. Paul on March 29th. Oh, so much more. All you got to do is go to Facebook and look up her tour schedule. And I am thrilled to have you on, Annie. How are you?
Oh, man. You know, I'm so good. I'm so, like, just in a place, you know, the spirit of you know, being grateful and being thankful, which has brought me heavy today. So thank you so much for having me on. And I really do appreciate it. Thank you.
How did your show go tonight with Robert Cray?
Girl, I don't even know. It was the quickest and the longest, you know, half hour of my life. You know, my thing was, if I can get, you know, people to feel something, you know, in that amount of time, then I've done my job. You know what I'm saying? But he's such a pro, you know, just to watch him and to learn. And I'm such a fan. So I never conceived of even anything like this happening. I'm just so overwhelmed right now. I've just been so emotional all day.
Yeah, I can just imagine. This is huge. Not only that, you've performed with some greats all along. I mean, you've been part of various festivals. You've performed with Bayfront Blues Festival and so many others. But to do this, to know that you are standing in greatness, right?
let me tell you, so I want to be clear about this, because I said, you know, I don't, you know, always walk around proclaiming, but I'm so thankful that God always exceeds my expectations, because I would have been content, you know, busking on the corner. And, you know, initially I was reaching out to try to play the Minnesota Zoo Series girl, you know, and, you know, possibly fight off a loose tiger and, you know, mosquitoes.
Right.
And I was contacted by the Single Plane Agency to open for this gentleman at the Fitzgerald Theater. And I just had to say, now, God, you know, you always do such amazing things like that. I sometimes I'm just so overwhelmed and blown away. So it is greatness, but it's not my greatness.
Right, right. Hey, I'm with you. You know, I understand completely. You are called a dynamic vocalist, and I second that. Charismatic as well. I have not seen you perform, but boy, do I feel it when you sing. The thing that I think is most exciting in your bio, it talks about how you have this velvet voice that can go from gritty to church hollers.
And,
you know, so I know that you are putting everything into your music, everything into your writing. But where does it all begin for you? When you wake up in the morning or you lay your head down on the pillow at night and all of a sudden maybe a sentence comes to you, is that where the writing begins and you get up and act on it?
I wish I was that profound. you know, I just walk in truth, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I stand in it. You know, I'm at an age now where, you know, you look back on your life and you think about the things you've gone through. And you know, I just come from a place of, I believe that I was given this as a means for healing for myself. And then, you know, I was able to move beyond that and be able to reach out to other people. So I believe my purpose, because my story is not the norm. You know, I didn't grow up in a musical household. I've never been in choir. I've never had any training. You know, that's something I'm, you know, working on. But so when I think about my path, I realize that this is my path, and this is how it was intended to be. So I come from a place of really wanting to show people that there's purpose and
right,
that we're worthy. And that, you know, your situation does not define you.
Exactly.
That you can come from, you know, craziness, mm-hmm, and God still uses that.
And still make it.
Well.
And still make it. Now, we want to let people know Thursday night at Bunkers, Friday night is the EP release party at the Astor Cafe. If people want more information, just go to Facebook.com/ Annie Mack Music. Annie, I can't wait to have you on again. Will you join me again?
And what an honor. Thank you so much for having me. And I would love it. Thank you.
All right.
So
you take care.
Thank
all right.
You.
That is all. Bye-bye. For Center. stage. We'll be back in just a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.